Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. I couldn't keep a straight face when I was saying that. Not that the title of my podcast is controversial for me. It's that I was thinking about the title and it made me laugh because I actually heard Mel Robbins say this. I didn't really know who Mel Robbins was and I still don't really. But I saw her say this and I listened to her explain it a little bit. Oh my God. I'm just... please, can we stop? Can we stop, we empaths? And can we deal with our fucking buried emotions before we get into these exalted places where not only are we now empath, but we're super empath, like a superhero or something that can monitor everyone's patterns and knows exactly why you do everything. If I'm monitoring your patterns that much, you can guarantee that I'm not in my body with a buried hurt, Mel, or buried anger. For a lot of us is buried anger. Well, Dan said, I think she represses hurt. I don't know. I'm not into that right now. I'm just saying boundary because first of all, the whole idea that somebody can be an empty vessel or a super empath and it can just see other people's patterns clearly because, I mean, of course we all get that. We all get that kind of clarity when we process our own buried emotions. We can see more what's going on. But to take a position in relationship or in any way and say, I'm a super empath, you have to question that. Because that could just be keeping you safe. Like, I believe that to stay safe from like buried hurt or anger, I'm a super empath. And because the empath label is being used by people until you do repression work, you wouldn't know it. It's being used by us, many of us, and it has been for since we were kids, to stay safe and get love and be that one that sees other people. But the very act of monitoring my whole life kept me from seeing that I'm angry at the people that I'm monitoring. That's why I'm monitoring them, because I'm afraid of my anger my whole life. And I was a so-called super empath, if you want to call it, because I was monitoring a lot. And you could even say I was good at it, but it was still suffering. As long as I was monitoring other people and checking into their patterns before my own, I was not a super anything. I was super repressed. That's about it. It's one thing that so many of us, if not most of us, were given the gift of empathy, and which is a very nice thing to have along with other traits, right? Like you have your power, you can assert your boundaries, but you have your empathy, you can see how other people feel. You have your hurt, so you can express how you feel, your sadness if you lose people, your fear to show you what you're not okay with in the moment. Have all these things. I mean, if we have all of our emotions, we have all this. But see, we who repress anger, we don't have our power. So from a very early age, we're very powerless. And we use the empathic, if we have that, to stay safe from other people. We're monitoring for survival. But you see, it's coming from such an unconscious level that we don't know it until we process buried emotions. We don't realize it. And then at the surface come these identities like empath or super empath. But that all that is keeping us safe. We're now identified with something that separates us from people, creates division in relationship. And I don't care whether the division is created through empathy. It's still division. I did it for years. It's offensive if you're conscious enough. What empaths actually do is actually cross boundaries all the time. I was on TikTok and I did a video on my avoidant attachment issues, you know, like processing buried anger. It was the insider's view of an avoidant. And someone said, she watched one video and she sent a private message and she said, I'm psychic and I can tell that you're still in love with someone, but you're not sure if he loves you. And I said, no, you're wrong. And you're crossing boundaries. You should have asked first, frankly, before you think you're just reading me accurately because you're inaccurate. Here's what's really going on. My ex tells me all the time how much he loves me. And that's not the issue. And if maybe if you would listen to more videos and ask questions instead of projecting your empathic abilities on me, we might actually connect. But it wasn't going to happen after that. Because I said, I frankly feel that as a boundary cross. Even if you would have gotten it right. Because I didn't come into your house or your page and start reading you. I'm over here on my page. I might not say things that are always welcome to everyone, but I don't go to other people's pages. And I'm not even trying to be good. I just do respect that everyone has their own perspective. But I can go, I can stay here where I am and express what's true and connect with people on a different level. I mean, gosh, I can't sit there and connect with people who are insisting that somehow they don't have something. that's the issue. Cause I did that my whole life. I don't have anger. I would say, but never say, you know, by always being empathic or kind or empathic. It was always saying like, I don't have it. Everywhere I go, keep me safe. Don't get angry at me because I don't have it. Such a lie. And then to build all those identities out of it and help my partners and the people around me to try to deal with their issues had nothing to do with them. All it did was disconnect me from my body and from them, including a lot of teaching. When I had buried anger, it was actually a very unconscious way of disconnecting from myself and others. The non-dual teaching. The way I was doing it, and the way it's often done, because it doesn't acknowledge this. I'll say, so this being the fact that buried anger is driving a lot of helping. So I have a news channel on Facebook where I'm talking about this a lot. And it, well, I have two news channels. I have one for the public, and then I have one for teachers, coaches, helpers, therapists. And you can go on Facebook and look at my news channels and join if you're a teacher, helper, or you are aspiring to be. Because what we're talking about is codependency and how sneaky it is and how many helpers think they've overcome it, but they haven't tapped into the unconscious yet. So they don't know that their whole life is that. We devote our life, many of us, to helping others, but many of us don't do the work at the very unconscious level where the frozen fear is that's compelling us to do all that. Well, you know, I had to do that to survive because I was suicidal from all the codependency and buried anger through the years as a teacher. So I went to hell, basically, visited and said, okay, no, I will allow anger now because I see, just like the science says, I see us, we helpers who are empathic, maybe even super empathic, are how we create suffering for ourselves by holding anger back, which is a major source of suffering, and then the codependency that comes from that. And I got really clever with it. It's like once I had an awakening experience, I just said, well, there's no codependency. Everything is just arising. Such bullshit. Because until you process buried emotions, you can't really talk about overcoming codependency. Because codependency is not just helping. Like, you know, the codependent mother helps the addict son, or the codependent, but it's also like looking at other people for your sense of self. Getting love, approval, validation, and staying safe, but not knowing that you're doing that. Because it's all buried. And so you just appear at the surface and we say things like, hey, I'm a super empath. But we don't realize that the reason we say that because we don't know how to process buried emotions is we get love and approval by all the people who are suffering and would love to be a super empath. And then what is it? It's not anything. It's we all have empathy. Some of us identify with it. Because we're trying to stay safe from ever getting angry at the people that we're empathic towards. And the rest of us bury it because it isn't safe to be empathic. Like if you can't feel and express hurt and sadness, why would you even be able to really be that empathic? I mean, you still would have it, but it might not feel safe. Like imagine a dad who doesn't like kids to show hurt because it's weak or cry. So how does that kid develop the ability to see the hurt and sadness in another child or an adult and be empathetic towards it if that child can't allow it within themselves. It's actually it's repression. It's not about empathy. Empathy is for everyone, except for maybe the psychopath or some wiring that some people have. But many people who do experience empathy, but it's just buried to some degree, are actually not narcissists. They're not psychopaths. They're hurt and sadness repressors who have to hold empathy back. But even many of them will tell you, no, I feel other people's emotions, because they too have. We all have the empathy. But like anything, even I've met hurt repressors who will say, no, I have to monitor other people's experience. I have to avoid being abandoned or losing people. So I have to pay attention to, you know, do they love me? Are they rejecting me? And that's what I mean. If we get real, we'll all talk about it in a very authentic way. All of us, it's not just the super empaths, but all of us, when we really see that we're all very similar, whether we're helping or being helped, or until we do our own work, we just show up differently at the surface around empathy. I wore it like a badge because, you know, I mean, I got a lot of love and approval. I own treatment and addiction treatment, mental health centers, where my empathetic, peaceful demeanor was very welcoming. And I got a lot of love and approval and got paid for it. As a teacher, as an addiction specialist, as a trainer of many helpers, I was helping them and getting their love and approval. Trust me, I know this one really well and how it comes from buried emotions. So since I can say with confidence that I know this subject of how repression creates it, what do you do if you're listening to me and you haven't discovered that you have buried emotions? Well, one thing you can't do then is tie the topic of empathy to it. And so you just have to look at your life, and maybe you're a helper, maybe you're not. Look in your relationships and see if you're the more empathetic one. On the surface, at least. Like the one that's more concerned about the welfare of the other, where it might even seem like your partner doesn't care as much sometimes. It actually might even be a trigger. A lot of anger repressors have to identify, as I said, with empathy. And then because opposites attract, because it's trauma, we'll find people who really aren't as empathetic as we are. And then we'll be attracted to them because they might be more powerful or angry, and we're missing that. It's a trauma bond. And so, but yet the lack of empathy becomes an issue for us if we're identified with empathy. This is why you have to be careful with super empath. It can be super divisive and could just be a source of suffering in a relationship if you really believe that. Or even that you're the empathic one, because that just points to your identification. Everybody has empathy. Empathy is part of the human experience. The fact that some bury it doesn't change that. It's just buried. It's still there. So if we can stop trying to own it and see it as a quality of our own consciousness, and we no longer identify with it because we've processed our buried anger that uses it to keep us safe and get us love, and we don't bury it with any hurt or sadness repression because it's too scary, then we have a healthy relationship with empathy. It's just one of those qualities that goes with everything else. Again, power, empathy, wisdom, compassion, love. That's what we're looking for, is ourselves. We've been monitoring people because we don't know ourselves. And I'm surprised that more empaths haven't picked this up, that the very monitoring of the environment is a demand for the environment to be safe. If you're an anger repressor, why else would you monitor your environment so that you know that the trauma response of I have to get away kicks in when you detect certain energy? Now, if you think of it in mental viewpoints, like I'm an empath or identity, you'll miss it. But if you go into the body, you'll see your body is doing all that monitoring and getting away from certain energy. That's trauma. It's the mind that keeps you safe from even knowing it. And all these helpers who really grab onto the empath thing, that's all self-serving. It really is. Because everybody has the trait. What those helpers need to be doing is unhooking from identifying with that. Get into their body where the buried anger or hurt is, and then start helping everyone else do that. That would be really empathetic, actually. But it's scary. So it's easier just to, you know, think you're the empath and you're going to help everyone else do something. But really, what? How can you help them? If they don't have empathy because they've buried it, how could you help them if you buried your anger and you're just identified with empathy? That could just make people feel bad, actually. If you're like the really empathic one and they don't know why they don't have it and you don't explain it because you don't know why they don't have it, because you don't know it's buried in them. How empathetic is that? And by the way, how good is that at monitoring other people's energy? If we empaths are anger repressors, why aren't we picking up on this? Are we really empathetic if we can't pick up on this, on the fact that some people can't show empathy, not because they're narcissists, but because they have buried hurt and sadness? You see, this empathy thing, we're using it for ourselves, because true empathy would want to see that and treat people accordingly. What we want is authentic empathy. Let's talk about that. That's the solution. Because I don't want to sit here and just see, you know, complaining a lot of the times is just not taking action in your life. I took action to process my buried anger. So I don't really want to sit here and complain about the issue. I just want to speak about it so that I don't want to be a part of it, is what it is. I don't want to be lumped in with all of that where people are using empathy in divisive ways, because it's not my experience. I actually lived with someone who had difficulty with it, showing it, but yet he was very much monitoring people's experience for that reason. He just had a different response to when he would see things. He was a hurt and sadness repressor. So when he would monitor his environment and see something scary, he would get angry. And then when I would monitor my environment and see something scary, I would shut down or just be quiet or not angry. So it's really, doesn't matter what you repress. You have to monitor your environment, but your response is different based on what you repress. You just might not be a person who could ever get angry in an environment. And I was that person, so I would pull away. I couldn't assert myself or feel confident. A lot of empaths will say they're just pulling away because that's a toxic environment. No, it's actually toxic to bury anger and say things like that. Of course, there are toxic environments, but when you're contributing to it by being in denial and separating yourself like that and pretending that you don't have any anger, that's the covert narcissism part. Yeah, that's what I found in myself. Just trying to get my needs met with this empathy thing. But the solution, if you could think of it this way, if we could think of a solution to this, the one thing we have to stop doing is assuming just because we're empathetic that our role in life is just to go help people. Because we don't know if our desire to, first of all, help our partner or our family or even be a teacher or helper is driven by the unmet needs. What I would say to people is process buried emotions from the beginning of your path. This is what some other teachers say, like Almas. Or he doesn't say that. He says own your power. But for anger repressors, the way to own your power is owning your buried anger. Then you don't have to feel compelled to help people when you process buried emotions. But if you feel compelled, and this is, we'll lie about this as empathic people, helping, monitoring, fixing, changing, saving, will actually say we're not doing it. This is part of how we stay safe from what we've buried, is we will not take responsibility. But if you take responsibility for, like, when you're helping someone and when you feel like you're being codependent, to go into your body with KI, that becomes productive, because then you can see that the very person you're helping, or looking at from an empathic perspective, you're angry at that person. And that's a game changer. But if you don't see that you have the buried anger or hurt in the moment of helping or being empathic, then it reinforces the pattern to remain unconscious. But again, pulling away to process that you're angry or hurt changes the whole dynamic, because then you have to take responsibility. Before that, you might have been blaming your environment or monitoring, thinking it's outside of you and you're just protecting your own energy. But what if you're hiding the fear in your body and you're protecting that? And so if you process that fear of anger or hurt, you don't protect your energy in that way through disconnection or division or labels like I'm an empath. You protect your energy by just being yourself. If somebody says something, you could respond to them, or there could be a boundary, or your experience with people is just authentic, whatever that may be, which it can't be when we're empathic and we think we really, that's who we are. That's not authentic to actually believe that that's what you are, because it's just a trait among many traits. So the solution is to become productive. If you're a therapist and you're sitting in your office helping people, learn KI, pull away, and see how fucking angry you are at them. If you don't, you're never going to really enjoy your job. I didn't. Be honest. What does it mean to really enjoy a job? It means you wake up every day and you can't wait to do it. That's what I do when I'm helping people. And it wasn't always like that, because I had anger repression. I was lying to myself and I was monitoring other people. I was trying to change the world because I didn't want to deal with my buried anger. That is not productive, because then I harmed them by never being able to take them beyond where I was, which kept us both safe, got me love and approval in them too. And that's the codependency. Because I never became a productive helper. Productive means help yourself. That's what productive means when you're a helper. When you're empathic, help yourself. Take your attention off of those people and get it into your body, and see that you're angry or hurt, but it's frozen. You can't feel these emotions. You can't just come down. So if you're helping, or you're just allowing all emotions as you're helping somebody, you can't. This is not what I'm talking about. This is a lot of helpers and empathic people do this and bamboozle themselves. They'll sit here and feel the hurt or the fear that comes up, but not the anger that they have towards the person that they're being empathic towards. And that's dishonest, because that energy is still being put into the relationship, the energy of fear and self-deception and getting one's needs met is still being injected into the relationship, even if the person isn't taking responsibility for how the buried anger is doing that. It's still happening. So we who have buried anger, who are empathic, we're either disconnecting from people or trying to fix or change them or make them more peaceful or different. And there's not peace in any of that. There's no real peace in any of it. And that having that kind of energy in your body, don't be protecting that with your empath identity, because that's just reinforcing your own suffering. Boundaries are different when you're clearer. It's not about like disconnecting and saying, oh, their energy is this way and I see their patterns. That's so self-serving. It's a certain level of consciousness that cannot take ownership. Even focusing on other people really in a way that creates suffering for anyone What I mean by other people, it doesn't mean keep quiet, because anger repressors will think, oh, sure, I shouldn't talk about other people. No, my God, you hear me talk, don't you? Don't stay repressed. What I'm saying is, this is a conditioning in our bodies that compels us to actually be false and to get love and approval and stay safe that way. One of the ways we do it is through helping partners, family, audience. And to, again, we don't know we're doing it. Don't trust your mind for this. Don't sit here and feel emotions and think you're getting to it, because these are repressed. Learn the skill, pull away from the people you're trying to help or the people you're empathic around, and find out that you're angry or hurt. And that's it. That's the beginning of real being really productive as a helper. That's what I've learned. Because then you can have your enthusiasm eventually. You can have your love of what you're doing, or you'll leave it if it wasn't right for you and it was part of some trauma bonding. But either way, you'll find exactly what you want and what you need, because you'll see the driver of what was driving you the whole time. You won't like it all either, trust me. But this is why we bury it and focus on other people's energy, because we don't want to know. We don't want to know this. Our entire persona, our entire practice, or teaching, or therapy, is coming from this. We don't want to know it. And we also don't want to know that it's all coming from that. We don't want to know that it is coming from that and how much of it is. And this is how we lie to ourselves, because the root of it is under the water. If you imagine an iceberg, we don't ever have to know if we don't do repression inquiry. We can just keep helping or being empathic and then having all these different forms of suffering in our lives, but never connecting everything together. That when we're avoidant, disconnected, or codependent, we got buried anger or hurt. That's it. When we're avoidant, disconnected, or codependent with people, it looks like helping people, even people close to you, is connected. But that's what we want. We want ourselves to believe. But what does it mean to be connected? If you can't feel and express all your emotions, you're not even connected to yourself. And if one of those emotions is buried anger, then your empathic persona at the surface is an indication of your lack of connection with yourself. Your over-identification with it is more, for me, seeing that you have fear, just like I did. That's what it shows me. It might not show you that, but it shows me that. The takeaway is that there's a solution, process buried emotions. Is there such thing as a super empath? We all have empathy and consciousness. Don't sell yourself short by believing some people are super empaths. Don't sell yourself short by thinking that you're a super empath or even an empath. Why do you need that? If you have empathy, can't you just have it? Why do you have to say it? Why do you have to believe it? There's a reason. It keeps you safe from what's buried. So I want to invite people to start the work. Of course, I'm going to always invite. It's free. You can go to repressiontest.com and I'll put a link in the description for the podcast episode. But also I want to put a link to the community. It's a news channel, actually, where I'm giving videos, resources, articles, tips, skills to helpers, coaches, teachers, or someone interested in that. That's a more exclusive news channel. So please qualify to, you know, before you click on that link. But please do, if you are helping people or that you aspire to do that. Thank you.